Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on St. Patrick's Day, Sunday, March 17th, 2013, on the Premier Radio Networks. This is episode 962. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPad, Samsung Galaxy, or other smartphone is worth at gazelle.com. And by stamps.com. Use stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter Tech Guy. And by hover.com. Hover is reliable domain name, registration, and management that's simple, honest, and easy to use. For exceptional customer support and 10% off your new domain name, visit hover.com/techguy and use the offer code TechGuy. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. And it's time to talk computers and the internet, smartphones, home theater, digital photography, anything with the chip in it. That's what this show's about. It's the Tech Guy Show. 8888-ASK-LEO is my phone number. 888-827-5536. That's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. If you're outside the U.S., hey, we got a number for you. Well, same number, but just, use, because you can't call toll-free numbers from outside the country. So just use your VoIP, you know, your Skype or whatever you got there. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I should turn my lights green, shouldn't I? Green. There we go. Now we're St. Patty's Day green. Nobody can pinch me. I actually have these Hue lights. Do you know about Hue? This is a wild idea. And at first I thought, oh, silly. But now I've kind of come to love it. We're in a television studio here doing the radio show, so we have TV lights. But when our lighting guy, Brent Bai, set this up, he said, you know, I'm going to put in RGB lights, RGB LED, Rugelblud, RGB red, green, blue light-emitting diode lights. And they're not really used widely in TV yet, but they're used in nightclubs and discos. He said, this is all kind of new stuff that is really taken off in the clubs, but I want to start using it on your set. I said, okay, well, you know, you're the lighting guy, you're the brilliant guy. So these lights are kind of cool because they can be any color. You know, from a computer, red, green, blue monitor. Remember the old days of RGB monitors? That meant you could do any color. Any combination of red, green, and blue can make any color. Turns out, gives you the full color spectrum. You know, you just vary the amounts of red, green, and blue. And you can get anything. So we use them now. And I, for instance, the lights behind me can be any color. I just made them Kelly green, but they can be any color, blue, red, green, whatever. Well, so I like this idea. I mean, I think it's very cool. And now Philips has made them for the consumer market. And I think this is really interesting. They call it Hue, H-U-E. It's a little pricey right now, but the idea is, people are buying LED light bulbs these days. They tend to be expensive. They've come down a lot. The first ones I saw from C. Crane were, I think, $100. This was a few years ago for a light bulb. And it still was not a bad idea because they lasted so long and they used so little power. It probably was more expensive than an incandescent light bulb, but better than the environment and all that. And better even than the compact fluorescents because of the mercury that they used to make those. These LEDs really are a pretty good choice for green light bulbs. And now the prices have fallen quite a bit. You see them around for $20, $30, $40. So Hue is selling these. Philips is selling these as under their Hue brand, but they're not just white LEDs. And by the way, that's the breakthrough that made this possible. They couldn't for a long time. LEDs were only red. Remember the LEDs in your calculator and signs and so forth? They were only red. And it was only a few years ago that they made the breakthrough that allowed them to make LEDs in other colors. Well, now they can make them red, green, blue, white. They can make any color pretty effectively and fairly cost effectively. And that was the big breakthrough. I remember when the first white LEDs came out, we started using white LED lighting in the studio because it emits so little heat, it uses so little power. Instead of those big incandescent studio lights, the Hollywood-style studio lights, which were so expensive in terms of the power cost. Hue is actually an RGB LED, so I guess I haven't opened one up. I don't want to. They're $60 a bulb. But yeah, I guess if you open it up, there'd be a number of LEDs of red, green, and blue. Maybe there's even white in there. I really should open one up. Maybe Phillips would tell me. If you go to Meet Hue, H-U-E, like in the color, colorhue.com, you'll see Phillips' page and all this. So these bulbs, not only, this is the wild thing, not only do they, and this is why they're probably so expensive, do they have RGB LEDs in them so that it can be of any color, they also have wireless radio technology in there, and you can control them. So when you buy the Hue, the first set you buy is the $200 Hue kit, which is three LEDs plus a base station, which connects to your Wi-Fi network. And then you can control the lights from your iPhone, iPad, Android phone. You can make them any color. You can even snap a photo or take an existing photo and say, I want this light to be this color, this light to be this color. So if you want to make a sunset, for instance, you really can paint a sunset with these light bulbs, and it's pretty real. They can be bright daylight bluish. They can be very relaxing yellowish. You can make them any. They're dimmable. Not through a dimmer, though. You have to use the software to dim them. Which is something LEDs have not been classically very good at. Somebody's got a link in the chat room now. I'm going to open this up because he says somebody's posted a Hue light bulb taken apart. Good, I don't have to take my $60 bulb apart. So I think this is very cool. I can even control my light bulbs from a distance, you know, over the internet. And I can schedule them. So I can say, okay, light bulbs at 7 a.m. start slowly ramping up to sunrise, then bright daylight, then in the evening, sunset. You can, all of this you can program. And then this week, Phillips put out what we call in the biz an API, a programmer's interface for the application, for the light bulbs, that let anybody write. And the first one came out this week called Ambify. It's an iOS app that makes the bulbs pulse in color. It's a color organ to your music. Okay, a little 60s, but just the beginning. Just the beginning. And I think that's very intriguing. I think we'll see a lot more interesting stuff in time. So when I say I'm going to make my my studio green for St. Patrick's Day, I really can using these RGB lights. I actually now have a folder on my iPhone for controls because I can control my lights with the Hue and the Hue application. I control my thermostat with a Nest application. I have one of those Nest Wi-Fi thermostats that you could set from remote from anywhere, but it also knows what temperature it is outside because it checks the weather. The thermostat checks the weather report and sets the temperature accordingly. I get an email from it every month saying, hey, you did good or you did bad. This is how much energy you saved or didn't save. And then that's two. I also have a Sonos music system that I control via Wi-Fi. So I can play music in any room in the house, different music or all the same music. That's three. I have interfaces now to my AV receivers, so that's four. The new Samsung Galaxy S4 and the new HTC One phones have infrared. You can use them as remotes. This is we're combining everything into this one smartphone, right? I'm excited about where we're going with this. Somebody, Big Ginge O'Malley, who's British but for today is Irish, says, Leo lives a digital lifestyle. I do indeed. I do indeed. I have to use this stuff so I could tell you all about it. Plus, I kind of like it. That's the new definition of geek. The word geek, you know, when they refer to geeks, at least in high school, it meant, I always use the definition, which I made up and I'll take credit for in case you want to tell anybody. Somebody who cares more about what's going on above the neck than below the belt. Somebody who's all about, you know, the brain and fascinated by stuff and enthusiastic. Geeks are always enthusiastic about something, whether it's The Hobbit or RGB lights. There's always some enthusiasm going on, right? And I think the you know, I'm the new geek, which is basically if it's a new technology, I'll try it. I'll try it. Let me at it. Give it to me. In fact, I'm a little disappointed because I had hoped by now to have an HTC One phone to demonstrate for you. I guess we're going to have to wait. Those are delayed. They'll be on all the carriers. I hear Verizon's going to get it as well, which was a surprise. And then the Galaxy S4 won't be out till April either, so I guess the new Android phones, we're going to have to wait. But I did get a BlackBerry Z10. I'm told you pronounce that Z10 because they're Canadian. Underwhelmed. Not blown away by this thing. This is very much an also-ran. But if you're in a BlackBerry kind of person, this would be good for you, I guess. Hey, let's take the calls. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Think enough about the things that matter most or what could make me whole. There's no argument.
Why is John singing?
Wasting time on the internet. complacently replacing a melody with smoke.
Kyle Benham, our musical director, is the master of the obscure. The heck? That sounds like my studio manager, John Slanina, singing to Umphrey's McGee. Is that what that is?
You're good, Leo.
John has been... So Umphrey's McGee is an interesting band. They're a jam... What you'd call a jam band in the tradition of the Grateful Dead and Fish and so forth. Quite a talented bunch. Really, really great musicians. They perform live, but they do a lot of interesting, unusual, technically things. For instance, one of the first bands not only to invite people to record, but to actually make board recordings and sell them on USB keys or CDs as you go out the door of the concert. So you like the concert? Hey, don't worry. We got a recording. Come on, buy it as you leave, which is pretty cool. They're doing something interesting this week, and John's going to participate in this. They're going to let some members of the audience listen to the board mix with headphones in the audience.
Huh?
They also, I think they take requests during the show via Twitter? I'm not sure. John's going to come running in here any moment and tell me. And Kyle, what was that he was singing along to?
In the kitchen.
In the kitchen. And there was a reason that's on the internet? Why is In the Kitchen on the internet? You singing In the Kitchen on the internet.
No, I said...
That's you in the kitchen? Yeah, John is now a little miffed at you, Kyle. His fine singing is aired over a million, over 200 stations cross-country. He's not happy. I don't even know what is he streaming? If you're streaming it live, John, then you have no control over it. Were you streaming your singing live?
Kyle was playing the song.
Yeah.
I was sitting where you're sitting.
Oh, this was earlier in the show. Well, he recorded it. This was yeah. So, sorry about that. We'll spank Kyle later. Kyle's becoming the bad boy of this show. He says it's okay, he forgives you. Because you know why? Because it's a big promotion for your favorite band, John, Umphrey's McGee. So John took time off his vacation. Only time he ever takes vacation is to go watch the band. You went up to Seattle, right?
Seattle, Eugene.
Eugene.
And last night, Oakland.
Last night he saw him in Oakland, and tonight with the headphones. I mentioned the headphones. How did that work? Did it work well?
Great.
He says very sharp. Clear, very sharp. But you're at a concert. Wouldn't you rather listen live than in the headphones?
Yeah,
well, you are listening live, but it's like through headphones.
The room muddies it.
The room muddies it, he says. That's, you know why the room muddies it? There's so much smoke in the air that the sound is muddied a little bit by that. Anyway, so you're going to go to Tahoe and do the same thing tonight? Did you get the headphone deal?
Yes.
Do they take requests via tweet? How do they take requests?
They will take any kind of request. They won't play your request.
They don't play the request, but they'll take them. That's. I remember being a DJ. When I started out as DJ, you know, you always say, call us, you know, 1-800-TALK. Talk to the DJ and, hey, this is 98.7, the request monster. Just ask your... And we just ignore them all.
They have...
Just never paid any attention to the requests.
Yeah, special events where it's all requests.
I see. Special... Do they play South by Southwest?
No.
That's the big music conference that's going on right now. I got it. They're busy. They're busy. Anyway, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. I have the call screening up, Kyle, but once again, I don't have the text. I only have... So I'm just going to pick up line one and
Colin in Huntington
and say
Beach.
Hi to Colin in Huntington Beach. Hi, Colin. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling, Colin.
I've been a big fan since Screensaver days, and I listen to a lot of your podcasts,
That's great.
I hope to come and visit my brick at some point.
Oh, you bought a brick. Thank you. We raised money to build the studio, which, by the way, is will be paid off by the end of this year in its entirety, thanks to all the people who bought bricks. And your brick is lining the front entrance hall.
You can go and build a bigger studio then.
Anytime I get down in the dumps, I go out there and I read those bricks, and it makes me smile. It's really cool.
Okay,
we sold,
I
think, 1,800 bricks.
I put on mine, but I'll come and visit it one time.
Thank you, Colin.
I do have my certificate somewhere as well.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate the support. Thank you.
Anyway, I was calling today to save you some money.
Oh, I love it. Not only did you give me some money, now you're going to save me some money.
Exactly. Yesterday, I was listening to you talking about buying your cell phones. I know you buy loads and loads of smartphones to keep us knowledgeable about the phones.
I
was thinking, instead of you buying instead of buying batteries all the time for them, why don't you just buy one of these external batteries? Like,
I don't like them. Yeah, I did that with the iPhone because that's the only choice when you have a case that you can't open. That's one of the things I like about Android phones. Many, not all Android phones, you could just open them up. So I usually buy a second battery. That way I still have the slim line of the phone. By the way, that's one good thing about this BlackBerry Z10. As slim as it is, and it looks very much like an iPhone, you can take the back off and pop in a new battery, which gives lie to the idea. In fact, so does the Samsung Galaxy S4, which also has a removable battery and is very slim, that in order to get good battery life and to make the phone slim, you have to seal it up. No, Apple, you don't. I think that's just Apple doesn't want people to go inside their phone. That's what I think.
I think more companies are just generally moving towards. So I think the new Google Nexus 4, you can't open it up.
Yeah.
Either.
I think consumers, you know, admittedly, you can buy a case or an external battery, and I have plenty of those lying around. But then you have to carry, a big old honking battery around. You make sure it's charged up. This way, it's very, I have a couple of these little batteries in my pocket. They're small, and I just pop them in as needed. But, you're right. I mean, I don't know which is cheaper. It might well be these extra batteries are cheaper than buying the battery case.
Like, I mean, I was just seeing like 10 or 12 amp hour external batteries for like $40, and they go for like 10 or 12 charges.
Yeah, but those are heavy.
Well, yeah, true, I guess. Yeah. Well, I was thinking if you're on a plane, then you can just plug it in and,
right,
at least you'll survive the plane ride.
Someday I hope to be able to fly a plane in a plane where I can plug in. But that seems to be few and far between these days.
Some of them, United have power between most of the seats these days.
They're getting better. The newer planes do. Yeah.
Okay, well, sorry, I can't save you that much money.
No, it's a good point. And certainly if you have an iPhone, I recommend, in fact, they just came out with the Mophie Air. I've used Mophie cases for years, and those are nice because they're cases with batteries built in. They make the iPhone heavier and thicker, but I think the iPhone especially, you need a case because they're so fragile. And so,
I'm just not a case person. Well, I'm not an iPhone person. I'm not a Steve Jobs.
See, that's the point to me. I don't want to carry a case. I don't want
right.
to, so I am looking at the HTC One. I think this is going to be a very exciting new phone. And by the way, HTC apparently has tweeted, no, we're not going to be on Verizon. So AT&T, Sprint, or T-Mobile only in the U.S. And that does not have a removable battery.
Yeah, I'm going to wait for the next Nexus probably. I'm a big Android person. So,
well, you're probably seeing the rumors now about a Nexus 5 and pictures of a Nexus 5.
I've been cutting back on everything. I've been dumping my cable TV and I've on a TV.
Good on you.
Data.
That's awesome. So the real thing that's happened with the. Thank you, Colin. Thanks for calling, Colin.
No problem at all.
Take care.
Thanks for taking the call. I'll let you get to somebody else.
I feel like I'm going to say, what's the vector, Victor? Thanks for calling, Colin. The interesting thing about what Google's doing with its Nexus phones is at least with the Nexus 4, it is not the top-of-the-line Android device that you might think from Google. It is a pure Google experience, and that's why people like Colin like it, because you don't have any of the manufacturer's stuff on there. You don't have any of the carrier stuff on there. But they wanted to make it cheap, so they didn't make it very fancy. And I suspect that may be the trend. We'll see. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I like this. I thought Kyle Benham, you'd be playing Irish music all day today. That is a pretty song, though. I like it. You can get Kyle. Kyle's our musical director. I just imagine him in a white tie and tails, the big carnation boutonniere, standing on the podium with his baton in hand, conducting the Tech Guy Orchestra. but no, not really. But that's not what he's doing.
Ed, it is, just with a green baton.
But it's a green baton for today, that's right. Ed in Saugus, California, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Leo. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for calling. What can I do for you?
Okay, well, I've got an 11-year-old daughter who likes to draw, and she's been working on this bamboo tablet that we got her.
Oh, hey, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's a Wacom tablet that goes to the computer, and you got a stylus, and you draw on it. It's a good thing for her to learn, too, because it's very different from drawing on paper where you put the pencils where the mark goes on a tablet. You're marking on a tablet, but the mark goes up on the screen.
Yeah, and she loves it, and she's been using it a lot. And she's even used some of her drawings, and I guess she somehow used Movie Maker to make it somewhat animated.
This is so great. Yeah, I would certainly encourage this, Ed. That's fantastic.
So my question is she's been asking me, can I buy her some software that's going to help her to animate her stuff if she draws some more stuff?
Yeah, stop motion software, I presume, is what she'd want, right? Because is that how she does it? She draws a drawing like a cartoonist, an animator.
Yeah, basically that's what it is. I mean, I've been one night I was looking around. I probably went online and searched for so many different programs. And,
are you on a Mac or PC?
We're on a PC.
Oh, crud.
Windows 7.
Yeah, the Mac has a wonderful program, which I've recommended for years, from a company called Boinks, B-O-I-N-X, called iStopMotion. But I'm sure there's some good stop-motion software on Windows that would do something like this. You want to make, somebody in the chat room said, a digital flip book. That's a really good, that's what we did when I was in school. You'd take a book and you'd vandalize it by putting a different cartoon on each page.
Right.
And then as you flipped through it, you would it would animate. So it looks like there's quite a few choices if you Google digital flip book. The chat room is saying Toon Boom, TOONBOOM.com, and the chat room knows all.
Yeah, my daughter did mention that, and she said that one's about $300.
Yeah, yikes. Yeah, that's the nice thing about Boink's iStopMotion. It's $50. Well, let's look at some other choices. I did Google digital flipbook, and I found something called FlipDocs at FlipDocs.com that says convert PDF brochures. No, that's not what you wanted to flip books. That'd make a magazine out of it. That's not good. Let's see some articles here. How to make a digital flip book. If you have QuickTime. Oh, this is an interesting idea. So I've done this before. If you take QuickTime, which you can get on the PC as well as on the Mac, you need QuickTime Pro, which I think is $30. And you can open a sequence of images. So now this doesn't have any of the nice features like tracing. You know, what's really nice if you have tracing paper and you can see what the original image is and make the next image by tracing it on top. That's actually how Disney works in the old days. But you could easily do this if she's willing to just draw. You can combine all the images into an animation using QuickTime. I've done that before. In fact, I've done it with photos. So for instance, photographs as we come in to land in an airplane. You just use your SLR and you snap all the way down. Take those images. Right. And then QuickTime has a command image sequence. So you go to File, Open Image Sequence, and you can go to a folder with all the shots, and it'll put them in order. You could say how many frames per second, which controls the speed of the animation. So that's kind of a simple way to do it without any of the frills of something that's designed to do the in-betweening. So that's cheap. You might even have it already. I think you need QuickTime Pro, though. I don't think the regular QuickTime will do it. Let me see what else. As I flipbook maker software to flash flipping book. Looks like there's quite a few ways to do this. I think it's such a great idea for her to do that. Toon Boom's $167 as a little for home use. That's a little pricey. Okay. That's a lot for an 11-year-old. But boy, you sure do want to encourage her.
Absolutely.
Because this is she's basically learning to be an animator. And I think it's one, if she loves to draw, this is a very interesting next step for her. This is what I love about digital technologies. It's giving kids, even as young as 11, a chance not only to do this, but then to post it on YouTube and gain an audience. Unheard of.
That's where she wants to go with that.
That's amazing. You know, every kid does now. I talk to kids in that age group. They say, yeah, I want to do YouTube videos. I want to do, you know, Minecraft videos or something. It's very common. Somebody in the chat room said if she gets like she wants to get more fancy, a great place to go is Lynda, Lynda, although you could spell it with an I too, .com, where they have training. Here's a program. Oh, this looks good. This looks perfect. It's open source. It's called Pencil. Pencil-animation.org. Chat room to the rescue.
Pencil animation.
Yeah, it's for Mac OS X, Windows, or Linux. It's open source, which means it's free. And it has all the – oh, she's going to love this. It'll work with her tablet too. Has the tools you need to do the animation. It's for animation. So this sounds like exactly what, you know, she'll be able to draw in it. Figures that the open source community would have come up with something like this. It was actually written, just as often as the case, to scratch somebody's itch. He says, I've always loved animation as a child. I tried to draw in notebooks. The result was somewhat unsatisfactory. Today, computers make animation much easier. This is really, really neat. It's based on a program by Patrick Corrieri called Pencil Planner.
That'd be great.
Yeah, this looks like the right thing to do. Pencil-animation.org. Chat room is always with it. And Judd P says Toon Boom does have a program called Flip Boom All Star that's $30. It's for younger people. See, they're smart. They get them hooked on Toon Boom. So you might take a look at that. So there's a couple of $30 solutions. QuickTime Pro, Flip Boom, and pencil-animation.org. Thank you so much, chat room. And Ed, that's so great. I can't wait to see what she does.
Me too.
Yeah. Isn't that neat? I was at an event last night with John Lasseter, the guy who started Pixar. And John was dressed in a full Indian chief, you know, headdress and everything. Don't even ask why. But he said, you know, it all started for him at Disney, learning the traditional means of animation with, you know, onion skin and you know, drawing it by hand. Then they take a picture of it. It's really wonderful, because what happened for John is he learned the skills of animation. That was good. That was a start. I believe he studied with Ubiworks, which was the great animator, Disney animator. But then he became a storyteller. And really, that's where John's forte is telling stories. And so that's the next step for her, right? But she's got to get the tools first so she can tell those stories. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, by the way, if you're looking at upgrading to the next big thing, and I know there are great phones coming out, can I just remind you that Gazelle is waiting for your old one? They're ready to buy it from you at a premium price. GAZELLE.com. You know, don't keep that stuff in a drawer or in a closet. I know people, John C. Dvorak, who rented a room above a gas station just for his old stuff. That's pre-Gazelle. Now you just sell it. Got an old Samsung Galaxy S3. You want to trade up to the Galaxy S4? Let's see what it's worth. Good shape? You bet. Never got wet? Yep. Let's see. $200. That's exactly what the S4 will cost, I predict. So there you go. Old iPhone, same thing. iPhone 4S, want to get an iPhone 5? Maybe you want to get an iPhone 5S. $215 for that iPhone. So here's the deal. These quotes are good for 30 days. You go to gazelle.com, get the quote, and it's locked in for 30 days. So you can, you know, you have now a month to decide to transfer your stuff over. They'll send you a prepaid postage paid box. So you pop it all in. And then, very quickly, they send you a check or a PayPal credit, which is almost instant, or an Amazon gift card. And that's cool because you get 5% extra when you choose the Amazon gift card. It is a really amazing service. No wonder more than 500,000 people have used Gazelle to sell their stuff and get more than $50 million. You try it today. What's your iPhone, your iPad, your Android smartphone worth? Just take a minute. Go to gazelle.com and find out. No commitment, but you are guaranteed that price for the next 30 days. Sell your used iPhone or Galaxy smartphone today. Gazelle.com. Love them. They're going to get a big box from me very soon.
Hey, hey, hey. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Michael on the line from Hialeah, California. Hi, Michael. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, Leo. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I want to say first that I'm a big fan of the Tech Guy podcast. Been listening to it for the past 3 years or so. And it helped me get through high school, I'll tell you that.
Well, bless you, sir. It's great. Are you in college now?
Yep. And I still listen to you daily.
What are you studying?
Biology.
Awesome. That's an exciting field nowadays, especially biotech. The same kind of revolution I think we've seen over the last couple of decades in computers is about to happen with biotech, and the sky's the limit.
I hope so.
Genomics is just so exciting. Well, I think you're in the right place at the right time, Michael.
So let me get on to my question.
Sure.
I was actually looking at I've been doing like video editing things in the past, and I was wondering what application would be good to do motion tracking in video editors.
Oh, I wish Alex Lindsay were down the road. We have a motion tracking studio in the building that Alex Lindsay set up. He's a video guru, used to work at Lucas, and his company Pixel Core is a great place to learn motion tracking. So motion tracking, the idea of motion tracking is that, in fact, all the Lord of the Rings movies, Gollum was motion tracked. Andy Serkis is wearing a special suit. He's actually in the scene, but they motion track him. They record his movements via computer and then use the data points the computer records to animate Gollum. And wow. If you saw the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, amazing motion traction. Also, Andy Serkis, by the way, who's become the king of this stuff. He was I can't remember the name of the ape, but the lead and they were doing some very interesting things. For instance, he had a camera on his face. This was kind of a new technique they use, where the camera's on his face, recording his facial gestures. So they Cornelius, that's it. So they technically, typically they'll put, and I've done this, by the way, I've been in a motion tracking suit. I used to do a character on MSNBC, a animated character called Dev Null. So I'd wear this special suit. It had little sensors all over it. There's two kinds of motion tracking. There's camera capture, motion capture, and then there's motion traction tracking via sensors in a magnetic field. So it's not a camera, but the computer still records it and animates it. The Dev Null character that I did was done in real time. So we had a giant Silicon Graphics Onyx, $1 million computer, that was monitoring my movement in space and then would map that into an animated character that talked to Soledad O'Brien. I was an animated barista. Now they've gotten so much more sophisticated. Sometimes they'll put little white dots on the suit so that the camera can pick up those dots. As I mentioned, Andy now has a camera on his face. And that's why Cornelius's expressions in The Rise of the Planet of the Apes are so real. An eyebrow raise or a widening of the eyes or movement of the mouth, a smile, a frown. All of that was actually motion captured from a human being. So that really makes it very realistic. Now, there are some home things that you can do. You need a motion capture. The hardware is what you need, whether it's a camera. Alex Lindsay's done some interesting things with me where he's just taken a magic marker and put dots on my face. It wasn't Cornelius. It was Caesar. That's right. Cornelius is in the original Planet of the Apes. Caesar is the young monkey in the Rise. Thank you for the correction, chat room. Now my question for the chat room is, how can Michael get into this at an affordable cost? Pixel Core used to have have classes and stuff in this kind of thing. And I just don't know. I just don't know what would be. Well, they're saying Adobe's After Effects program could do this. You'd have to set up, and this is what Alex has next door. He's got a black curtain space with cameras, video cameras, all around it, dozens of them. And so the performer will go in wearing a special suit with points on it, probably reflective. I'm not sure what they're doing. Maybe they have infrared reflective points. But somehow you have to somehow have points the computer can record. And they'll go in there and they'll move. And the cameras record that, send it to the computer, which then creates a 3D animation of the performer moving in space. And then, of course, you can attach other stuff to it. People have hacked the Kinect to do something like that. Man Chicken tells me in the chat room that's right. You could do it manually with After Effects, but that sounds like a lot of work. You know, this is a question. I love the question, Michael. If Alex were next door, I'd bring him right over here and ask him. I love what you're trying to do, and I think you're going to have to cobble together some. I don't think you need to spend a lot of money to do this anymore, but you need to cobble together some software and hardware solutions. Maybe, you know, a few GoPro cameras. I wonder if the school you're going to has anything like this. It'd be nice if they already had a mocap. That's what we call it in the biz. Mocap studio. Because then you just then you can just take advantage of the technology they've already got set up. Blender, Webzin's pointing out that Blender, which is an open source solution. Ah, thank you, James. James DeRuvo, who writes our show notes for the chat room, says Film Riot, which is an excellent podcast on Revision 3, has a whole tutorial on doing it in After Effects. Open source motion traction with multi-blob for grid flower. That's, I'll tell you what we're going to do, Michael, because James has all the information. We'll put that in the show notes at techguylabs.com. There's also a link to an article at createdigitalmotion.com, which is probably a site you should check out. Createdigitalmotion.com. Open source motion tracking with multi-blob for grid flow PD. We'll show you how to do it with open source software. It isn't easy. I would, you know, it's one of those things you might want to complete your studies in biology before you move on to this. Here's another one that might be interesting to our previous caller. Stop motion animation without the effort. Magical new algorithm lets you just use your hands. This is a good site. CreateDigitalMotion.com. This is a very hot topic right now, too, as you might imagine. And I think it's just a matter of time before we see on YouTube, once again, amateur efforts at motion capture. I'd love to see that. Let's go to Matt in Enola, Pennsylvania, our next caller. Hiya, Matt. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. I was hoping you could help me with a quick question.
Yes.
So I'm considering rolling out a VPN on my home network. I'm a full-time work-at-home employee. I'm constantly moving files around. I see the ISPs have this six strikes thing, and
yeah.
I realize it's a graduated, you know.
So let me explain what a VPN is and will do for you. Because we're going to run out of time. And then I think if we have to take a break, we'll just come back and talk some more about what where to go and what to do. A VPN stands for Virtual Private Network. And I think you might be misunderstanding what it will do for you. Normally, it's used by employees to log into a business securely. If you set up a VPN at your home, it's really for your use on the road. We'll talk about it when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, hey, Leo Laporte here, St. Patrick's Day version on the Tech Guy Show, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number if you want to talk high tech. I'd love to do it with you. 8888 Ask Leo. We've been talking about VPNs. Matt is on the line from Enola, Pennsylvania. He wants to set up his own VPN, and there certainly are a lot of ways to do this, even some routers that have built-in VPN services. So, Matt, I think maybe you want something different. If you set up a VPN at home, it would be so that you could be on the road and connect securely with your home network. Is that what you want to do?
Well, I was hoping to mask all the outgoing traffic.
That's different.
I see.
That's different. So what you're worried about is your ISP spying on you. And of course,
pretty much.
Yeah, the ISPs do spy on you. They pay attention to what you're doing. At the behest of the federal government, the FBI several years ago proposed a system called Carnivore, which they then renamed. But if you Google Carnivore FBI, you'll find all sorts of information about it. The idea was for internet service providers to have a box in their facility that records everything everybody does and saves it for some time. They never were able to get Carnivore into law, but it is routinely done, I'm told, by many internet service providers just as a courtesy to the FBI. So you could presume that somebody's monitoring you. Now, the six strikes thing is a little different because that's not coming from your internet service provider. That's coming from the recording industry and the Motion Picture Association, who watch sites like the Pirate Bay for pirated content and then look and see who's downloading it. They get the internet address of the person who's downloading it because BitTorrent does not hide your internet address. And then, and other file sharing systems typically do not. And so once they get your IP address, they know who the internet service provider is that owns that IP address, because each IP address is assigned to an ISP. So they send a letter to the ISP saying, hey, 192.168.1.1 has been downloading stuff. Ding 'em. This was something the ISP set up so that they would not have to reveal your information to the Motion Picture Association or the recording industry. They would act as an intermediary for them and send you a letter saying, we've been notified that you've been pirating material. This is your first strike. They don't do anything for a few strikes. Then once they see this happening on a regular basis, and by the way, there's no appeal process. There's no due process of any kind. There's no evidence offered by the industry. It's simply a letter to your ISP, who then sends a letter to you. After a certain number of times, the ISP may throttle your connection. At some point, they may even, some ISPs will do this, stop your internet access, put up a landing page that says you cannot go online until you get re-educated and watch this video. But none of this is fixed by a VPN unless you VPN to another place. And then it will be the other place that will get the letter. So, for instance, your work may have a VPN set up. It's typical for businesses to have, in fact, it sounded like yours did, a VPN that you would log into. I'm logged in via a virtual private network, for instance, to our studios in Sherman Oaks in Southern California. I use that VPN to run the call screening software. So it's as if it looks to the call screener as if I'm on the local network. I'm not. I'm actually going over the public internet. But it is an encrypted tunnel from me to the studio. So you can get an encrypted, secure tunnel from you to work, use work's internet access, but then they'll get the letter.
I see.
from the ISP, because everybody has an ISP, and the ISP will send the letter to your business. That's going to be even worse for you, because the business will then say, well, wait a minute, who was doing that? And of course, they know who had a VPN session going on at that time. So that's no solution at all.
Worried about? I mean, should we worry about this type of thing? I'd rather just avoid the whole thing altogether.
Well, do you download stuff from BitTorrent?
I don't.
There's no evidence yet. Could happen. Because there is no due process, there's no evidence yet that the copyright holders, the recording industry and the motion picture industry, are pursuing a lot of innocent people.
Okay.
So,
I do use the internet a lot. I mean, I'm always moving files around.
Yeah, I think you'll be all right. A VPN really is designed to give you secure access to an internal network so that a bad guy can't use the same channel to get into the company network. You can set up a VPN at home. If you travel a lot and you want to get into your home network, that would be what you'd set up a VPN for.
Excellent.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Leo. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm glad we could talk about it. Now, there are, by the way, lots of great VPN services, Hotspot VPN and others, that let you use their VPN. I use this all the time. In fact, this is the one I use, is Hotspot VPN. When I'm at a hotel or some insecure spot, In fact, I bought their tiny hardware firewall, which is a cute little device that receives the Wi-Fi signal and then plugs into your laptop. You actually can Velcro it to the lid of your laptop. And it provides secure VPN to their servers and then out to the public internet. So I don't have to worry about my security on an open access point at a hotspot in a hotel. If you travel a lot, I do think this is a good idea. You know, anytime you're on a hotel network, whether it's wired or wireless, you're really exposed to everybody else in the hotel. So they can watch you do anything. Having a little device like this or logging in via software to a VPN server means that your transactions are private out to that server. At that point, they're public. And again, if you were pirating stuff, the letter from the internet service provider would go to Hotspot VPN, who would, I don't know what their policy is, but they could then ding you. I don't know. So you can use, somebody said, I use my Airport Express. Yeah, you can carry your own wireless router around and do it that way as well. I used to do that all the time. That's if you've got wired internet in your hotel room. You plug that into the wireless router, and then you're protected. This is a clever idea. In fact, the reason I like this tiny hardwall, tiny hardware firewall, or I'll call it a hardwall, is because it's $99, and it gives you a year of Hotspot VPN as well. So it's actually a pretty good deal. For $100, you get the hardware and the service for a year. I like this idea. I'm going to call it a hardwall from now on. The tiny hardware firewall. It's hotspotvpn.com, but there are many other very good services that allow you to do this. But again, the idea is to be out there in the dangerous world surfing into your internal network, whether it's at work or at your business. Jeff in Hillsboro, Oregon's next. Hi, Jeff. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Hey.
How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm swell, considering it's tax season. Oh. I do income tax preparation.
Oh, my gosh. You must be crazy right now.
Gee, that's nicely put.
Actually, you got a whole month. It's April 14th that really is when it gets nuts.
Oh, yes. Then, well, I try not to get losing it before then anyway. But.
I know my accountant is crazy. I don't even try to talk to him anytime in March or April or September or October, because if you file for an extension, then it's in October.
This is true.
He's just nuts. Just nuts.
That's true.
Yeah.
I almost had a heart attack yesterday with my computer.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, I've had my computer for about 6-7 years now, and I tried to turn it on yesterday, and it wouldn't go on. First time it's ever happened. And so I unplugged the computer and plugged it back in, and it took off, which was fine. But it had me concerned, to say the least.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Heart attack time. But it's now operating normally?
Seems to be, yeah.
So the question is why? What was the signal your computer was trying to send you? I hear the music says we've got to take a break. We'll be back, and I can perhaps point you in the right direction. Might not be as crucial as it sounds. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. La 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 la. Is this annoying, Orange?
Everybody's really been looking forward to the new video from Lumpy and the Lumpettes.
Oh, this is the copyright re-education video that you have to watch on YouTube. So we were talking off the air with the chat room. I'm going to get back to the calls in just a second, but I want to mention something that really bugs the heck out of me. YouTube. So there's a something called the DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and one of the things that protects YouTube against getting sued to death, as it was about to do really before Google bought it, is this DMCA takedown process. And it really bends over in favor of copyright holders to the point where people who are actually creating content like me get taken down all the time from YouTube. They have an automatic content scan that is wrong frequently. I also think that there are companies that game it. Because we get takedown notices on our videos, none of which violate copyright, I might add. We create our own content. from Brazilian television stations, things like that. And I often think the reason they're doing it is not to take the video down, but to get their ads put on the video. That's one of the options for a takedown. You can say, if you're a music company, you say, that violates our copyright. They've got that mother feeding that baby has on the radio in the background our song. You have a few choices. You could say, take it down. I don't want that video to be on YouTube anymore. And by the way, they'll just take it down. They don't verify it. It's too big. They can't. So they just take it down. They leave it to the creator of the video to appeal. Or, and this is where I think it's being gamed a little bit, they will put an ad for that song. That's a choice. The record company has that choice. Or ads of other kinds on the video, and they can collect a little money. And I think that's why people are starting to game this thing. We have two defenses for the stuff I do. First of all, this is news programming, and so there is protection for us to use in the course of our reporting clips. But in many cases, we don't even do that, and we get takedown notices. We get takedown notices almost every day on our YouTube channels, and I have quite a few, from companies that have nothing to do with the content. I don't know if it's an error in the automatic content recognition or it's malicious, but it happens all the time. And the onus is on us to appeal it and say, no, this is not, please put it back. But since most of what I do is very timely, the days or weeks lost during that process are often critical. I was just looking for a video that we had done where we took apart the Old Spice commercial. We were talking about motion capture. And somebody in the chat room said, you know, almost everything on TV now is computer generated or motion captured. And I said, actually, sometimes not. And one of the glaring examples is that great. Remember that great Old Spice commercial from a couple of years ago? I'm on a horse. It starts in the shower and then suddenly he's on a boat and suddenly he's riding a horse. And all in the space of 30 seconds. And I actually had a bet because with my editor here, Tony Wang, I said, that's got to be computer graphics. There's no way they could do that for real. And Tony said, no, I think it's all real. And we said, well, no. And we bet $100. And I called the ad agency and we made a little video with the ad agency going step by step through the Old Spice commercial, which in fact was not computer generated. Only a smallest bit of it. Almost all of it was real. And in fact, it's an amazing story how they got the actor. A wonderful, talented pro football player, former pro football player, to appearing to stand in a shower. Suddenly his towel is whipped away. A sweater is deposited on his head. He's on a boat, moves through the boat, and then suddenly he's on a horse. And all of this for real, even the horse. And it's just, it's a fun video. And NBC Universal decided they didn't want it up, even though, as far as I can tell, there's zero content from NBC Universal on it. If Old Spice said they wanted to take it down, that'd be different. But it isn't Old Spice. Isaiah Mustafa, that's the name of the actor. Very talented. It isn't NBC's. Nevertheless, if you go to watch it on YouTube, you'll see, sorry, this content has been removed by request of NBC Universal. No. No. They don't own this. They have no, and even if they did, this is news coverage, but they don't. And this is really a problem in general. I've even seen cases where this has bit Google itself. You see this happen a lot where Google has a video on there that was then later aired on a local news show, and the local news show said, no, that's ours. And it's taken down. Just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. We got a problem here, and I don't know what the solution is. You often hear, and you'll hear over and over, because these guys own the airwaves, you'll hear from the copyright holders, the recording industry, and the motion picture industry, how they're being robbed blind by those of us who are stealing their content. What you don't hear is how maliciously, inappropriately, and destructively these companies are acting all the time to protect their rights, when in fact it isn't protecting their rights. It's just malicious. And the Six Strikes law, or Six Strikes Act, or whatever it is. I guess it's an agreement. It's practically a treaty between the internet service providers, the big ones, and the content creators. We're the little guys who are getting squished by these big companies inappropriately. I will dispute the fact that this is costing them money. It's just appalling. It's just sad. Anyway, I'll get off my high horse. I was on a horse, but now I'm talking to, let's see, who's next here? We were talking to, who were we talking to? I'll start a new call, right?
Jeff, line five.
Oh, we were talking to Jeff. All right. Sorry, Jeff. Hillsboro, Oregon. Thank you, yeah. Kyle, for pointing me in the right direction. Remind me, what were we talking about before the break? I got all upset. I'm sorry.
It's okay. The horse got out of control. My computer yesterday wouldn't start.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
6 years.
So, but it's acted normally since.
Yeah.
It is an older computer. When it didn't start, you just started over and immediately started up?
Well, after I got control of myself, I unplugged it and replugged the computer back in. And
okay.
Then it took off okay.
And when you say didn't start, what did happen? Anything? Did a fan come on? Were there beeps? Anything?
Nothing.
It just dead silence.
Yeah. And stark panic going through me.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Well, you do have a backup, right? Especially
if
you're doing taxes, you got to have, you know, good, secure backups all the time.
Yes. So I can tell that I'm needing to get a new computer.
Well, 6 years old is kind of long. You know, computer years, we say dog years are 7 to 1, right? There's seven dog years for every human year. I think computer years are like 15 to 1. So that computer is 90 years old.
Okay, he's ancient.
He's a little doddering. It could be the switch is messed up. That could be a simple thing. You know, you've pressed it how many times in the last 5, 6 years? It could be the power supply is flaky. It could be something more serious, but the truth is, it's probably not your hard drive, because if it were a bad hard drive, the computer would come on, it would try to start up, and it would give you a message saying, I can't find an operating system or something like that. So the fact that it's not turning on at all probably doesn't mean anything about your data on that hard drive. It's more likely the power supply is flaky, the switch is flaky. It is possible the motherboard is flaky.
So is it possible then that I have to get a new computer?
Well, it is your livelihood. It wouldn't be a bad thing, but it isn't necessary, I would guess. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Stamps.com, folks. That's all I should have to say. You've heard this ad. You know what I'm talking about. Why haven't you taken advantage of the great offer we've got at Stamps.com? It's not for everybody. I'll say that right up front. If you use one postage stamp a month, you probably should still go to the post office and buy your stamps. But if you are in your business doing mailing of any kind, if you send out a lot of emails, not emails, postage mails, if you send out bills or flyers or anything like that, you need stamps.com, S-T-A-M-P-S, just like the postage stamp. This lets you print a real U.S. postage from your computer and your printer. Yes, it's legal. You don't even need a postage meter or ink. You don't need anything. You just need stamps.com. You get discounts you can't get at the post office on priority mail and express mail. You get the scale. I'm going to give you this USB scale. Stamp. Look, CM Junk in our chat room says, I've been meaning to look into this for my company for ages. Please do. Please do. You'll be glad you did. It really is pro. For instance, you could print right on the envelope. You know, you don't just have to print sticky stamps. You could print right on the envelope, and they'll include your return address, your company logo, the stamp. They'll even take the address you're sending to from your address book, from QuickBooks. If you sell on eBay or Etsy or Amazon or PayPal, one of those kinds of things, they'll take it from there. It fills out all the international forms you need. No special ink, no postage meter, just your computer, your printer. Yes, you need ink for your printer, not... And no, HT Dutchie, they don't offer this internationally because it's U.S. postage. That would, you know, maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe you want to, no, because it's no good to you have U.S. postage if you live in the Netherlands, right? You need the Netherlands postage. They will do international mailing, though, if you're in the U.S., and they'll even fill out the forms for you. I love stamps.com. If you do a lot of mailing, this is great. In fact, if you do an awful lot of mailing, it could even be free. But I'll tell you what, let's try this no-risk trial first. Go to stamps.com, click the old-fashioned radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner, you know, where it says podcast radio listeners, click here, and then enter our offer code, TECHGUY, two words, T-E-C-H space G-U-I, TECHGUY, and we're going to get you $55 in free postage. We're going to get you a free digital scale, $5 supply kit, and a four-week trial of stamps.com. Prints, the scale's nice because you always have exactly the right postage. You could print any class of postage from stamps.com. The Vatican doesn't use stamps.com. Can't be. They might have something else that they use. This is pretty good, though, I got to say. Try it today. Stamps.com. Use the offer code TechGuy. Padre SJ in our chat room says, I don't know. No, I don't think, no. They use doves. Stamps.com. Love it.
That content belongs to Paul Simon.
We pay good money so that we can play any song. That's the difference in a radio show and other stuff. This portion of the Tech Guy radio show, ASCAP BMI licensed radio show. So yes, you can continue to play that song. It's brought to you by my friends at Citrix, creators of Podio. Oh my, have you tried Podio? It is a great way to tie all the different parts of your work together into one easy-to-use workspace. You work the way you want to with Podio.com. Start using Podio today. It's free. Just visit Podio.com to sign up, set up your first collaborative workspace, and invite your team to get started. Podio.com. Chris Marquardt is here. That's why we played that photo music. He is the photo guy on this show. Digital photographer, professional photographer, digital guru. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm not sure I'm a digital guru.
Yes, you are. You are. You are my guru. I follow. You told me that you liked this Olympus OMD camera, that yes, bunch of people in your workshop had it. So, of course, I had to buy it. And now I'm loving it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm happy.
Yeah. No, I have what I would consider one of the best DSLRs out there, the Canon 5D, and it's a great camera, but it's big, it's bulky. I've spent tens of thousands of dollars on lenses. Well, maybe not that much, but a lot. And it's a wonderful camera, which I'm not abandoning, but sometimes I don't want to look like the professional dork. I may not want to carry a big old bag, and the body's huge. So I love these new Micro Four Thirds mirrorless cameras. They're more compact. The image quality is quite good. It's probably not up to the 5D quality, but
yeah, the sensor's a bit smaller, but come on. I mean, for most purposes, I'd say for 95% of all purposes, that is plenty good.
Especially with the good lenses that they're now making for Micro Four Thirds.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm getting great clarity, great color. It's really our mutual friend Trey Ratcliffe wrote an article some months ago saying he thought the future of photography was in this mirrorless format. Yes. And I'd have to agree with him.
I think it's going there. Sooner or later, it will be going there. And I'll cry a tear over the big sensors. But
you still have film cameras. You're not going to give up full frame.
I'm not going to give up on that for sure.
Yeah. Doesn't mean it replaces it, but it sure is nice to have a lightweight camera.
That's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So today we're going to bust another myth.
I've come to let the air out of another myth. It's about today's cameras. You know, today's cameras, a lot of people think that they're so advanced that you won't really have to learn anything to use them.
No, it's the opposite.
And I mean, at first that's true. I mean, you take them out, you point and shoot, and they take good pictures.
Yeah.
They will, if it's too dark, they will pop up the flash, and they'll get you decent pictures, right? It's amazing what they can do. They have good low light performance, and they're better than anything before, you know? Every year things get better. You see that with the OMD and new cameras come out that get better. But what these cameras don't know are your intentions. So let's look at three things. Exposure, for example. The camera will try to guess the exposure, and it doesn't always know exactly what to do. So it has a computer built in with a database of lots of different images. So if a landscape image needs a different kind of exposure than an image of, let's say, a snowy landscape. And so the camera does all this guesswork to try to get it right, and sometimes it just doesn't. And then you end up with like gray snow pictures. We were out in snow and the pictures turned out gray when we set the camera at automatic mode. So knowing a bit more about what the camera can do and how you might be able to influence that is really, I think, really important. So I think you can get go. You can go the first steps with what the camera gives you out of the box, but at one point you want to learn a bit more about it. So exposure is one example.
I think you're absolutely. I think you're absolutely right on that. And I, what I'd like to do, and I bet you this is what a lot of people do, is start shooting.
Yes.
And then questions and then crop
run,
up.
And then run into a wall.
Things you go, well, but okay, but, and then the manual makes more sense than if you just start by reading the manual. But I guess everybody has their own style.
Right. Everyone has their own style. But again, the guesswork the cameras do. If you don't know how to influence things, exposure is one thing. White balance is another thing. You get color casts in your pictures. That's one of the most frequent questions I still get from people about color casts. My pictures turn out blue. What's happening?
Right.
That's, and then you find out the that, camera they, that guessing, they set the white balance to something. Yeah. There's a camera guessing a color cast and trying to neutralize that.
Right.
Focus is another thing. Focus points. Those cameras have like, I don't know, a gazillion of focus points. And what they typically do is they look at what is under the closest focus point, and then they focus on that. But how about you want that thing in the background in focus, another thing in the foreground? So by knowing how to influence these things, I think you can get a much, much better pictures than you just get with taking the camera out of the box. Now, obviously, the camera manufacturers want you to believe that it's just take it out of the box and use it, and you don't have to learn anything. And on the one hand, I find this a good thing, because that means the people buy cameras, they're not afraid of using the technology, and then some of them get really interested and work a bit more on it, and that funnels more money to the camera manufacturers, and this way they can finance more development of new cameras. So I think it helps keep progress going. But if you're really interested, hey, take out that camera manual, learn about photography, go online. There's so much good information out there. There's also bad information out there, but I think everyone has to deal with that nowadays on the web. So go out, find some good blogs, find some good good tutorials and things.
There's tons of it out there. Do you have a favorite point and shoot that you really like? Is there, or is it, are there too many to choose from?
Well, I think I've fallen in love with the OMD. I've used it for a while on that workshop, and I'm slightly itchy about it. I haven't done the step yet. There's other stuff on the horizon, and most of the time I still have my DSLR with me.
Right.
I carry that around.
But do you do camera phone stuff? Do you take pictures with your camera?
Oh, yeah. Camera phone. It's the iPhone.
Somebody's saying in the chat room, and I don't know the answer. Why is it? What is it Apple does that makes the iPhone so much better than anybody else, even with the same sensor?
Apple does a lot of processing and a lot of good guesswork. I think that's what they're good at, setting good defaults and doing good guesswork to take a lot of decisions out of people's hands. Yeah. Now, for someone like me who wants all the influence, that's often not a good thing, and I need to find some apps and stuff to kind of work around what Apple tries to take out of my hand. But in general, I've just recently posted pictures online that I shot with a DSLR, and I deliberately put one iPhone image in between them.
To see if anybody noticed.
Same kind of thing. No one noticed.
Wow.
I got the same kind of likes and comments and things on the iPhone picture because in the end, it doesn't really matter. If you learn about it, if you know a bit about photography, you will be able to get this.
Yeah.
And obviously, the camera doesn't really do the composition for you. So that is one area that you really want to learn about, is how to compose a picture, how to place things in the picture, how to deal with space in the picture, with colors and these kind of things. Camera won't be able to do that for you, at least not yet.
That's one of the reasons we encourage people to go out and take more pictures. That's how you learn composition. Take pictures, notice which ones you like and don't like and why. And our assignment, which we'll review next week, is to take pictures of ice.
Well, to visualize the concept of ice. I mean, ice could be quite a few different things. You can
look
at this from different angles.
Ice cubes in a glass. Could be a frozen lake. Could
be an
icy
mood.
Icy stare, exactly. I get that a
lot. Something like that. Not for me.
No. So take a picture of that and submit it to our Flickr group. It's on Flickr is free, flickr.com. It's a Yahoo site, so if you have a Yahoo account, you probably already have a Flickr account, but it's free to set up one if you don't. And tag it with ice and then submit it to the Tech Guy group, And we'll pick three for review next week. Chris Marquardt, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
See you again next week.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. If you want to call, question, comment, suggestion, anything that's on your mind, I'm here to help. That's my job. Jerry Whittier, California, you're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Leo.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I need your help desperately.
Okay.
I have got a problem with missing emails.
Hmm.
And what happens here is I've got three separate computers in the house, all of which share an email, the same email account.
Right.
And one is a laptop, an older laptop that's running Windows XT and Outlook Express. My wife does not like Outlook. Okay.
And who does your email?
The email, it's Charter.
All right. And so you're setting this up as a pop mail service. That's the style.
Pop mail server, yeah.
So the way pop mail works, the way pop mail is intended, the reason Charter uses this is that you will log on, download your mail, delete it from Charter's drives, and then move on with your life.
Okay, well that...
And you don't want that. In fact, this is why PopMail is a bad choice for multiple users, because if somebody logs on, downloads all the mail, nobody else can get it. It's gone. It's only in one place.
Right.
So if your ISP offers something called IMAP instead of POP3, that would be preferable.
Okay.
And this is what I would do, is set up a Gmail account. They're free. And Gmail will collect pop mail. So have Gmail log into your Charter account, get the mail, and Gmail is IMAP. So then you can set up Outlook and all your other servers, email things, to use Gmail. You can even use it on the web. And the mail is never deleted. It's just copied, in effect.
Okay. My understanding was that when you opened the email with either Outlook or Outlook Express, that if you didn't have it set to take the copy off of the server, that it would download a local copy.
There's a checkbox in your settings. It has nothing to do with whether you open it or not. There's a checkbox in your setting that says leave mail on server, and it's going to ask you for how long and all of that stuff. You have to make sure that they're all set that way except for one, and that one never logs in. But this is an iffy proposition. And
Where is that in?
It's in the settings. It's in your account settings. In all cases, it's in your account settings.
Yeah.
So, but I don't recommend this. I used to do this when we didn't have much choice. This is how I would do it. The problem is you have to make sure that nobody deletes it, in which case Charter's going to get mad at you because your mailbox is going to get full.
Right.
Or that only one deletes it, and that one never logs in until everybody else is logged in.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do.
Yeah, you can't. It's too. This is, Pop is dead.
Right.
And by the way, so is Outlook Express. I don't recommend, I know your wife likes it, but at least go to get.live.com and download Windows Live Mail. It's the up-to-date version of Outlook Express. She'll feel comfortable with it. It's not much different. Outlook Express has been abandoned for years.
I know.
But Windows Live Mail is very good. Actually, Windows Live Mail is now abandoned, but that's how old Outlook Express is. And POP3 is really ancient. And in fact, many, you might check with Charter because they may offer IMAP instead. Look in your Charter online help and see if they have IMAP. Many, many internet service providers do, and that would solve the problem. Just use IMAP instead. The nice thing about IMAP is changes that you do on a local client are propagated. So you have all your sent mail is available from all the computers, so you know who responded and you can see what email you sent out. When you delete a message, it deletes it everywhere, which is kind of good. It's all sorts of stuff you can do with IMAP that I think when you make folders and you sort mail, it's sorted everywhere. So I think that that's a good thing to do. So Scotland calling says in Outlook Express, go to Tools, Account Settings, Edit, Change, More Settings, Advanced tab.
Right.
That's why you can't find it, by the way. It's what we call buried.
Yeah. Outlook Express is the one that's working. It's Outlook that I can't change.
Yeah, Yeah, Outlook, it's in there. It's in the settings, in the account settings, probably in an advanced area.
Okay, so I will see if I can switch it over to iMac.
Yeah, there are other reasons. Popmail's not secure. There are other reasons to get off Popmail. So Charter may well, as many ISPs do, now offer it. If not, a very simple solution is to use Gmail, which is IMAP. And Gmail has in its settings, and it's free, the ability to download mail from your Charter account. So it'll clear off your server, store it forever on the Gmail servers, which I like, too, because I frequently will go, you know, I won't have a local copy of something from years ago. Fine, I just go to Gmail and search it, and it searches very fast, and it really works well. You also have the advantage of you can check your mail on any browser, on any computer. You just log on to your Google account. So the future has caught up with you, unfortunately, which is often the case. Bonnie Seal Beach. Hi, Bonnie. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, Leo. This is Bonnie from Seal Beach.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. We seniors just love you down here at Leisure World.
That's so nice. I know. I've talked to people from Leisure World before. Hello, everybody.
At any time, you can come down here. We'd love to have you.
I may move in soon.
Please do. I have an apartment next to me.
All right. I got my AARP card. I get the senior discount at the grocery store. I think it's just a matter of time now.
Fabulous, because we have a marvelous computer room here and so forth and some great classes.
We've talked before, haven't we?
No, we haven't.
We haven't. I talked to somebody down there who was setting up Wi-Fi for everybody. That's really great. It's obviously quite a few tech people down there.
Yes, and it's really wonderful. Neat. I'm called the video lady because I do a lot of videos for the clubs.
Oh, that's neat.
That we have down here, over 250 clubs. So I do a lot of video work for them.
I'm moving in. I want to go down there. It's near the beach. I'm set. I'm going down.
Okay.
Hold that apartment for me there.
Absolutely. Right next door to me.
All right.
The problem that I'm having, I'm using the CyberLink, 11,
mm-hmm.
Power Director 11.
Mm-hmm.
And when I render my videos, all of a sudden it stops rendering. And it tells me, that I wrote it down here, something is empty, and that causes the mixer, but they don't spell it as mixer, it can't keep running. Boy, I have a problem.
I hate error messages. They imply that they're giving you something you can do, you know, some usable information, when in fact it's not the case. Obviously not the case. They didn't even write it in English.
I know.
So
what happens is it kicks out my video.
Yeah.
And after I
it sounds like
2 hours.
Does it say the buffer is empty?
I'm not sure what that means.
Well, it sounds like you ran out of memory. This is not a bug you can fix. This really, truthfully, is an error in the program. I'm going to have to take a break, but hang on, okay? We'll talk about it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Por faith in Begara, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. And it's time to talk about computers and the internet and cell phones and home theater. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the number if you've got a question or a comment or a suggestion. Anything you'd like to talk about. We were talking before the break with Bonnie in Seal Beach. She's the video queen, the maven at Leisure World. And she was having some trouble with a crashing program. CyberLink, the video editor you use, has been crashing on you. And the problem is the error that it's giving you. It acts as, when you get an error message from a computer, it's like the impression that one might get is that, all you have to do is fix the Framets and the thing will work. But it's not really clear what that error message means. Or if there's anything you could do. How much RAM do you have on that system, Bon?
I don't know how to look that up.
Yeah. Is it an older system or a newer one?
No, it's actually a year old.
Oh, then it'll be fine. Then that's not the issue. It's the software. The problem is when a computer programs are dumb, you know, when they give you an error message, often it has nothing to do with why they crashed. It's their best guess. I think it's not great software, to be honest with you. I know, you know, it's $80. You spent... Can I recommend something better?
Absolutely.
If you want to be the video maven of Leisure World,
that's right.
You got to have the right tools.
My videos show up on the local TV station.
Oh, that's awesome.
That must be awesome.
That's so cool. So, you know, there is a free tool you could try that probably would not crash so much, Windows Movie Maker.
I tried that.
You don't like it?
Well, the one question I have is I have to run them with an MP2.
Oh,
two different things that I have to do.
Yeah, so those are the codecs, compressor, decompressors, that you use. And video has to be compressed because it's too big to work with otherwise. And it, so the DVDs are MPEG-2, but most internet video is MPEG-4, sometimes called H.264.
Oh, okay.
So, but almost any editor will work with that. Let me recommend Adobe Premiere Elements. It's under $100. It is the baby brother of a video editor that even Hollywood uses. It's one. Adobe Premiere is very, very powerful, very, very popular with pros. And Premiere Elements is their just like Photoshop Elements is the inexpensive Photoshop. Mm-hmm. Premiere Elements, and it's much more reliable. You can burn DVDs with it, you know, beautiful with menus and everything. You can import and export pretty much any format.
Good. That's exactly what I need.
Yeah.
Because when the people don't see it on television within a couple of weeks, they're very upset. They only want to be movie stars.
We saw you video us. Where's our movie?
Exactly.
Do you shoot the video too?
Absolutely.
Isn't that cool? So you go around with your camera, you shoot video. What kind of camera is it?
I am using the Canon.
Okay.
A little Canon, as you suggested.
The Vixia, those are great. Do you pop the memory card out and put it in your computer, or do you connect the camera to the computer?
Either way.
Yeah. So that camera, I think, is recording in H.264. That's so, mm-hmm. And that's the format you kind of want to work in. $65 on Amazon right now, Adobe Premiere Elements. $65 is well worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they have PC or Mac. They have a download version if you want to start today. You don't even have to go out and get a box.
Okay.
And I think this is really the right program. Also, you'll be learning skills that, as you become more professional, will help you when you want to enter the movie industry and take over Hollywood.
Well, I'm working on that now because I have some really fabulous 101-year-old lady.
Oh, how neat. Does your show have a name?
Well, it's Seal Beach Television. Is where we're able.
So you're on the local community access, Seal Beach Community Access.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's an old man out here yelling at me.
All right. Well, I'll let you go. Save that apartment for me, though, Bonnie, because I'm coming down. I'm going to set up my radio studio in the back there.
I actually left all the information for you, and we would love to have you down here. We would.
I'm 56. What is the youngest age you can move into Leisure World?
Well, you have to be 55 years old.
I'm ready.
Can be younger.
I'm ready. That's it. I can have a young chick spouse and bring her along, huh?
I didn't say that, but I know we're on national television.
Your spouse can be younger, she says. How much younger?
Younger. Please, Leo, please come down. We need to talk.
I should come visit anyway. Absolutely. Bonnie, great to talk to you.
Thank you. All the information is with the young lady who is fabulous that answered the phone.
Oh, good. Well, she'll send it along to me. That's great.
Great.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, Bonnie.
Yes, I'm heading to the local bar where the people are like 80 and 90 years old.
Stay away from the green beer, though. That's my advice.
They're party animals.
I bet they are. Thank you, Bonnie. Great to talk to you. Yeah, I think that CyberLink comes free with some computers. She probably got it free with her Dell, and it's just not the best software. I think Adobe Premiere Elements is what I would recommend almost anybody. There are other good programs. Pinnacle Systems makes one called Studio. A lot of people like that. But I think the most reliable, the most powerful, Adobe Premiere Elements. If you have a Mac, you already have iMovie, which is excellent. And I probably, if you wanted something more than iMovie, I'd just go to Final Cut, which is another great, powerful program. 8888 Ask Leo. Matt's in Cambridge, Ontario. Hi, Matt. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, good afternoon, Leo. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. Do they celebrate St. Patrick's Day in Canada?
They do. We already got the green stuff out.
There's some places where they dye the rivers green, they dye the fountains green, they dye the beer green.
I don't think they go that far, not yet.
They paint a green stripe down Fifth Avenue in New York City for the parade. So what can I do for you, Matt?
Maybe I'll stomp you with this one.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of a brand called Hair, H-A-I-E-R?
Hairer.
I only found out about a month ago, and there's a 42-inch TV I can get for $360.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's any good.
Yeah. I see them every year at CES. They're a very low-priced television. They make other stuff as well. H-A-I-E-R, I should say. Hair. You get what you pay for. They're not the best things in the world. What? How much was it?
Would they be comparable to Vizio, or is it even?
No, they're lower than Vizio. So we talk about tiers. There's your first tier manufacturers: Samsung, LG, Sharp, Sony, the big names, Panasonic. Then there's your second tier guys. Vizio is probably the best example of that. Although we're starting to see some interesting Chinese companies move in that do a pretty good second tier. And then there's the third tier, the budget stuff you see in the drugstore, and Target, and places like that. And Higher is one of those. They're the low end. Now, I got to tell you, from the point of view of the screen itself, often they're using the same panels that some of these bigger companies are. It's not so much the screen itself. It's the software and the controls and things like that that they sacrifice on. I don't think they're bad. Not at all. In fact, I would go, if you look at it and it looks good to you, what are you gonna use it for?
Believe it or not, a computer monitor.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend it for a computer monitor. They're too low resolution.
It's 1080, the one I'm getting.
Well, okay. That's...
So it's still comparable to what I have. Right now I have a 40-inch Samsung. I just want to get something...
Okay.
Mine's an L, like...
Make sure that you have the right connector on your computer. If you have HDMI coming out of your computer, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I've got HDMI on my card.
Yeah, I mean, generally TVs, 1080p is the highest resolution you need on a TV. You can get much higher monitors at that, higher resolution monitors at that size. But you're right, they would cost more. Not bad. Not bad. I guess you must sit at a distance. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Oh,
Faith and Begara. I'm all green. Our show today brought to you by Hover.com. Now, I know a lot of you have a hobby. When you'll get an idea for a website or whatever, and you'll run over. The GizWiz does this. You'll run over and register the domain just in case, just for fun, because it's not expensive. What is it? You know, $15 or something for a year. Well, can I recommend the next time you do that, Hover.com? Or maybe you'd like to have a permanent email address. You know, anytime a friend of mine has a kid, I will register the kid's domain name and give it to them as a baby present. Because sometimes they don't think of that. I got my kids' names. You kind of want your name as a email address. Hover's a good place to do that. Hover.com/techguy. Take a look. Now, here's why I like Hover as opposed to some of those other guys. The big name one. First of all, the big name one will run you through the ringer before you can check out, because they try to upsell everything. That's why it's so cheap. They don't even give you domain name privacy. You get that for free at hover.com. No big upsell. Great simplified domain name management. They don't do web hosting, so they don't try to sell you Fakatka web hosting. It's just, you know, registration. I want you to visit hover.com/techguy. You'll get 10% off your domain. They will move your domains for you. I did that. I did it myself because, you know, I'm a do-it-yourself kind of guy. But they actually will. They have a concierge service that'll move it all over for you. And what's great about the transfer is you pay $10, and they'll do all the work for you. They pay $10 for the domain, but that includes a one-year renewal. And they have great support, too. The people there are fantastic. In fact, they specialize in no-hold telephone support. Once you get online with somebody during business hours, you'll be speaking to a live person who is empowered, eager to help, and will not put you on hold. We'll get the job done. Hover does not believe in upselling, cross-selling. They don't believe in hiding functionality or requiring extra payment for things that should be included, like Whois privacy and URL forwarding. Basically, this is the way it should be done. Just use Hover, please, trust me. They offer the big 23 top-level domains, .com, .net, .org, .tv, .pro, .mobi, .biz. Also, many country codes, .ca, .asia, .us, .uk. And one of the things I might point out is that, you know, if you go there and you say, I want a .com address and you can't get it, Hover will also automatically offer you the .net address. And frankly, I think .net addresses are a very good choice. Highly recommend them as an alternative to .com instead of, you know, .mobi. You can get .mobi, but I just .net is good. People understand it now. They know what that is. Hover.com, great online help support documentation, tutorials covering everything from moving your domain, setting up redirects, domain forwards, pointing DNS, email, all of that stuff. It's part of Two Cows. We love Two Cows. We love their CEO, Elliot. They're just great. They want to make things better, and they're doing it with Hover. So visit Hover.com today. Go to hover.com/techguy. To register to your domain name, use our offer code TechGuy. One word, you'll get 10% off. And we thank Hover so much for funding the Tech Guy podcast. They make it possible. Hover.com/techguy. Don't ever try to do Irish dancing and speak on the radio at the same time. It's very, very difficult. Leo Laborde, the tech guy for St. Patrick's Day. Yes, I was dancing. That's right, James. Faith and Bagara. Let's. Tammy, Los Angeles, Leo Laborde, the tech guy.
Hi. I have a question about a Slingbox or one of their competitors, which I haven't really looked into any.
Yeah, there really isn't. There are some other companies doing this, but Slingbox is the king.
Okay. Well, a few years ago, I was in Europe for 6 months and went through TV withdrawals. So we're going for 8 months, and I don't think I could live without having my shows. We have a house that has DVR boxes, so
perfect.
I'm assuming I can use Slingbox.
You bet.
But now they have a 350 and a 500. I don't know which one to get.
Get the 500.
Okay.
That's the newest Slingbox. And by the way, disclaimer, they advertise on some of our shows. So I have a little bit of a partisanship for them. But I have tried some of the other ones like the Vulcano and Vulcano. I think this is the best. Okay. They've been around for a long time. They know how to do it. The new one has HDMI and high def and Wi-Fi. So it makes it easier to set up at the house. You don't have to have an Ethernet jack next to it. Although if you do, it's better.
Okay.
Wi-Fi is not quite as reliable. And then you'll connect especially your DVR, your satellite or your dish box or your cable box. That's really the most important thing. But you can also hook up other television inputs to it, even things like Rokus and stuff. You can use it anywhere in the world. You can get online. Of course, it's very dependent on the speed of your download, your internet access, upload and download.
Okay. I mean, it's usually pretty good where we are, except when we sometimes... We'll be traveling to remote places, but
right.
I mean, last time I figured out ways to get my shows.
Don't expect magic, but the nice thing is you can program the DVR remotely. Yeah. So even if you can't watch TV, you could at least, you know, if the quality of the TV signal is not very good or it's stuttering, you can at least say, well, record this and I'll watch it when I get somewhere where there's some better internet.
Right. That's exactly what I want to be able to do because, I mean, like I said, I figured out, you know, I got a US IP address and used Hulu. And then, you know, but it's just all these different ways to get different shows. It's just, I figured if I could just use my own DVR.
Much better. Much better.
Yeah.
Much better. And it's the same issue. You know, if Hulu plays well somewhere, so will the Slingbox. It's kind of the same thing.
Okay.
So if you can't, if Hulu looks bad or Netflix looks bad as you're traveling around, then so will Slingbox. You got to have enough internet to display a television signal.
Well, then you have to go the desperate way, and my kids taught me how to go to Pirate Bay also.
you can always download it overnight and watch it later. What is the show that you just can't live without? 7 months, that's a long time.
There's so many. It's just so many. I can't even begin. I go there. My boyfriend works there, and I'm home all day. I mean, I literally have nothing to do a lot of the time. So,
What country are you going to be in?
Well, mostly in the Czech Republic, in Prague.
Yeah, and so Czech television.
I love the city.
I'm sure Czech television's wonderful, but it ain't CSI Las Vegas.
Right.
Actually, it might be, but it'd be in Czechoslovakia.
Really, I mean, Prague is really beautiful. We
oh, I love Prague.
In Rome, but you know, we travel with our dogs, so it's you know, I'm a stay-at-home doggy mom, so.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I think you're gonna have a Prague is one of the most beautiful. The old city of Prague is so gorgeous.
I love it there. We really do love it there.
Yeah.
It's,
but sometimes at night you want to relax. I've had the same. I know what you're talking about. You try to watch international television. It's just not the same.
No, it's not. It really isn't. I mean, and if you're there over the winter, oh, my God, the city shuts down at 3 o'clock, so you better have something to do.
You better have something to watch. Yeah, try the Sling. I think the Sling Box is the perfect choice for you. It's the best of that category easily, and I'm not saying that because they're an advertiser, but because it is. They've been doing it the longest. It's excellent stuff. The only things to consider are the speed, upload speed from the place you're originating. It has to be. It should be at least 768K. It'd be better if it was a megabit or more. Nobody else is using it while you're gone, I presume. So, you know, you'll have full use of it. And then the download speed where you are. And then the other thing you might want to consider, and this really will vary from country to country. I don't know what it is in the Czech Republic, but many countries, they have download caps, which you could blow through pretty quickly watching a lot of television. That takes a lot of data. So just be aware of that in, you know, whatever you've got there. But, Tammy, I think you've hit on the solution for the winter woes in Praha. Sean in Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Sean.
Hello?
Hey. Hey, hello.
How to go, Ron? So, hi, Leo.
Yeah, Ron. Sean's busy right now.
I have a... You there? Wait, that's weird. I'm only on the phone, and I can't hear you either.
Don't listen to the radio.
Not. The radio's off.
The radio confused the heck out of you. I'll answer your question 40 seconds from the time you answer it. I mean, you ask it. What can I do for you?
I am traveling to Amsterdam and Berlin with my family, and I own
It's International Travel Day today. Wow, that's probably because I'm drinking green beer.
That's why.
Yeah.
And I was trying to find out. I have an iPhone 4S from AT&T that I called up, and they unlocked it for me, even
yes.
though I'm still under...
They say that's their policy now, even though it's illegal, according to the federal government, to unlock phones. AT&T says, don't worry about it. If you're a customer in good standing... We'll unlock it for you.
Well, it's funny is I still even have my contract isn't even done yet.
Yeah, isn't that nice of them? I think that's good. I mean, the reason they didn't that you know historically they haven't wanted to do that is because they want you to be a customer until you know the 2 years are up so that they can
get their money back.
Yeah, because they subsidized the phone. You didn't pay the full price for the phone.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go anywhere anyway. But
no, yeah, but this is a perfect reason to do it so you can take it to Europe.
Yeah, when after they do it and it goes through iTunes and it does it through iTunes. There's nothing on your phone that tells you that it's unlocked.
Well, you just have to hope that...
Yeah, it's unlocked, but there's nothing on the phone that actually says it's unlocked.
Well, you'll find out when you put a SIM chip from another carrier in there, won't you?
I guess I should try that before I go.
You could go down to your T-Mobile store and say, hey, can I borrow a SIM just for a minute?
Just to see if it works. I think
you know what you do? Because T-Mobile's trying to get iPhone users over. They can't offer the iPhone yet, but if you bring your own iPhone, it'll work. So just say, hey, I'm curious to see how this will work, and mm-hmm. pop it in, and then say, oh, it works. Well, I'll see you later.
Okay.
When I get back from Amsterdam, maybe. Yeah.
I wanted to know if, like, recommendations for to... either rent a SIM or
there's two things you can do. Actually, there's three things you can do. AT&T does allow you to do international data roaming. You want to arrange it ahead of time, and it's not cheap, but it's not horrible. I think it was $80 for 250 megabytes a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one option, and that way you keep your phone number. You know, it's just like you don't have to do anything, pop the SIM out or anything. That's the expensive way. The next way to do it is to do the same thing, but turn off international data and buy a MiFi, a little Wi-Fi card from a local carrier in Amsterdam, and then do the data on Wi-Fi. They'll often sell cards cheaply with unlimited access for a month. I'll talk more about this when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We were talking with Sean. He's a lucky guy going to Europe. You're going to Amsterdam, and where else, Sean?
Berlin.
How fun. Now, the only issue is going to be finding a carrier that works in both cities. Are you going to spend a long time in both or equal amount?
It's like a 10-day trip total, so yeah. You know, 5 and 5 about.
See, when I'm going on a short trip, I just generally make it easy and I buy the data from AT&T.
Okay.
Because it'll work in both in Berlin and Amsterdam. If you get to Amsterdam, you buy a SIM card, you put it in your phone, then it'll work in Amsterdam. Then you got to buy one in Europe.
It'll be more expensive.
Yeah.
So what do I do then about for mapping? You know, software does Google
well. So
that's work fine,
yeah. Everything works. You're using data, so everything works just fine. In fact, to me, it's a huge change from my experience of traveling. Now that I have a smartphone with me, I don't get lost. At Berlin and Amsterdam, for sure, Google will not only have maps, but they'll have walking and public transit directions in there, which is fabulous.
I've never paid attention because I'm like grandfathered in with AT&T Unlimited.
Yeah.
Not that I use a lot, but if I'm using like Google Maps every day and stuff, am I going to go through that 250 megabytes?
What I would do is Google Maps has the ability to download the maps offline.
Okay.
It's for offline use. So when you're in the hotel where you'll have Wi-Fi, get the maps, or even now, get all the maps for Berlin and Amsterdam.
Okay, and that's. I'm guessing at that point I have to log in. I've never logged in and set up an account with Google.
Yeah,
but I should
probably
that.
Do. And actually, this is a question. I don't know. I haven't used the new Google Maps on the iPhone. I'm not sure if it does or not. It does on Android.
Okay, so it does download them?
Well, on Android. Okay, so Murray on Travel, who's a travel wizard in our chat room, says there is an iOS app he calls Off Maps 2 that will do this. I recommend for directions, turn-by-turn directions, a great program called MotionX GPS. And it has offline maps, so you can download Amsterdam and Berlin. Just have them on your phone. You'll still have to go online maybe for turn-by-turn, you know, a little bit, but much less data download.
Okay.
Google Maps for iOS doesn't yet support offline downloads. That's a shame. But there are plenty of map apps that do. And my favorite is MotionX GPS. It's my absolute favorite navigator.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think you'll go. One of the first things you do is when you get on the plane, you clear your data usage stats in the settings. You set them to zero so you can monitor this closely. And then you just watch. And when you get up to your limit, whatever amount of data you bought, then you have to turn off data roaming because otherwise you're in trouble. You might want to turn off email. Otherwise, the iPhone will get email and use up data very quickly.
So just turn off email while I'm driving.
Yeah, make it manual. Make it manual and then download your email when you're on a Wi-Fi connection.
Okay.
You'll see when you go into the settings.
With AT&T, can you purchase more?
You can.
Okay, so you just have, as long as you do it before you go over. It's
you know, it's funny. I went over and I called them when I got back, and they said, "We'll just spread it out over 2 months."
Ah, so you paid $160 and it covered 2 months.
Exactly. I got five hundred megabytes. I found that you know, for a short trip like you're doing, it's sufficient. It's sufficient. But, you know, and it's a lot easier than trying to, especially if you're in two different countries, trying to figure out. There may be SIMs that are cross-border, but I don't think they're that cheap. I think they're cheap if you're in one country. And then it changes your phone number to a local number in the Netherlands, which may not be a bad thing.
Well,
but
someone recommended I got a Skype number, and I was going to try to forward all my phone numbers to
that's
the
a good
Skype
idea.
Number.
Yeah, you could do that. Or Google. Yeah, that would be a good idea. And then use that, again, only on Wi-Fi. But the hotel will have Wi-Fi.
Okay.
So that's what you do is you get smart about where you get do the big data downloads, you know?
So just turn off everything manual so it doesn't do it automatically.
Yeah, the thing you want to turn off, there's two different roaming settings that you want to be aware of. One is voice roaming. But if people aren't calling you and you're not making a lot of calls, you don't have to worry about that. It's nice to leave voice roaming on because if there's an emergency back home, somebody calls your regular number.
Now, where is...
It's in general settings under care, I think under carrier. And then I'll have to look at it to find out exactly where. But browse around, you'll find it. And then there's data roaming. And once you turn that off, you'll stop getting data outside the U.S., but that's what you want unless you've paid for international data. What you really have to be careful about is international data roaming, because that is expensive. Okay. You then are going to also want to turn off things like automatic email retrieval, make that manual. You want to turn off iCloud syncing for everything. No point in doing that on the road.
Okay.
Yeah. And just remember Le Big Mac, because McDonald's, I'm told, has free data at every international location. So if you get desperate, just find a McDonald's. They're everywhere.
Okay.
Fubi in our chat room says for Berlin, he likes Kongstar, C-O-N-G-S-T-A-R. It's €9 a month for unlimited data, and it's very fast 3G. But again, that will only work, you know, €9. That's not bad. €9 for your 5 days in Berlin. And there'll be something very similar in Amsterdam.
Okay, if someone, like, I'm on your chat.
Well, you'll see the chat room's talking about it. Mobile Vikings is €25 for 1.5 gigabytes. See, now that's starting to get expensive.
Well, all your chat room says is it has the rules and everything. It doesn't let me access anything.
Oh, yeah, you have to then go into the channel, #TwitLive. That's where they are. But we'll put this in our show notes, too, techguylabs.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great trip. I'm jealous.
Thank you.
Berlin's amazing. You got it.
I'm going with two kids, a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old.
Your 9-year-old's old enough to. I brought my, I think he was 10 years old when I brought him to Checkpoint Charlie, and we looked at the remains of the Berlin Wall. We went up into the Bundestag, looked at the city map of Berlin, which is beautiful. I took him to the Brandenburg Gate, taught him a little history, and it was a very valuable trip. I even bought a chunk of the Berlin Wall, which he immediately misplaced, so I kept it, and I've got it in my pocket. And one of these days, when he's old enough, he's only 18, he still doesn't appreciate it. Chunks of the Berlin Wall? I guess, yeah, I don't think they really want you to tear them off yourself.
I had a friend there when I was when it was going down. She was actually in Germany.
Then you can get a chunk, yeah.
Off a piece.
Yeah, yeah. There were plenty of chunks.
Hours at chipping with little tools to get a little tiny piece.
Well, they have little souvenir stands near Checkpoint Charlie where you can buy a chunk. Probably fake, but who cares? I don't know. I did buy a little piece in a plastic bag that says "piece of the Berlin Wall." The little kids, the 6-year-old won't know what the heck's going on, but the 9-year-old, he'd probably get something out of it. Have fun.
Well, thank you very much. You have a great day.
You too. Appreciate the call. We have a lot of travel whizzes in our chat room. It's a good place to go. If you have not been in there, I highly recommend it. It moves pretty quick because there's sometimes as many as 1,000 people typing all at once. But it's well moderated, so it's safe to go in there, sometimes chat is a little scary, but this one's nice. And you can get there by just going to our website, techguylabs.com, techguylabs.com. 8888 Ask Leo, one more segment to go before we wrap this show up for the weekend. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, 8888 Ask Leo. I don't know why I'm saying that because we only have a few minutes left, sad to say. And we got lots of calls. Let me take the guy from Israel, though, because that's always fun. Ron from Israel, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You're on Skype, I take it, because you sound great.
I have a 50 megabit connection with amazing. A Skype international plan.
Yeah, and there's no latency either, which, you know, it's amazing, really, how far Skype has come.
Well, I work from home, so I kind of need it. If not, I'd be in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
So my question is, I do a lot of traveling. I have an AT&T 5 gigabyte data plan, which is a business plan, grandfathered in from a long time ago on a BlackBerry, right? So every time I travel, that's my default computer, for quick internet surfing or whatever when I'm going international. Now I want to get the Z10, but I've been hearing that the Z10 will use the network's data instead of BlackBerry's servers.
So that's right. They've kind of I believe they've deprecated BIS.
Yeah, no more BIS. So that means it doesn't make sense for me to get the Z10. That's the only reason why I'm holding on to this thing at $80 a month is
because you have a BIS. You're running your own BIS, or your company does, or
no, just on the BlackBerry.
You're using BlackBerry's, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't charge me for data. It's $80 a month.
What a good deal!
The amount of overages that I've had, traveling, 6-7 times a year international. Right.
I like the Z10. I mean, it's especially if you're in the BlackBerry world, it's. Definitely a BlackBerry device with BBM, you know, the BlackBerry World Store and all of that stuff. It's a little, it yeah. feels, you know, you're used to a torch. You're not exactly living in the 21st century anyway.
No, I also have an iPhone. Don't yeah. worry about that.
This looks just like the iPhone, but it's not. And
the only reason why just for that data plan and internet and unlimited email whenever I am internet.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the status is of BIS, but it's my understanding that BlackBerry was moving away from that. So if your company were running a BES or BIS server, maybe that would solve it. But I don't know what the data situation is going to be honest with you. I my guess is it's more like a iPhone. You're playing for the data.
On a side note, you know, I download the podcast weekly.
Oh, thank
and
you.
My kids, every time it starts in the car, we go in the car, they're like, oh, no, not Leo again. they memorize Leo Laporte. They all say in unison, Leo Laporte,
D-Tech guy. I am loathed by families all over the world now, which is wonderful. But loved by geeks, so it's okay. It makes up for it. Thank you for keeping the faith, Ron. I appreciate it. My apologies to your family.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Yeah, I have to look into this, but it's my sense that I am getting billed for data just like I would on every other phone. And if you think about it, of course, that's what AT&T wants. They really want to get everybody on these data plans. In fact, the CEO, I've mentioned this before, of AT&T said, one of my bitterest regrets is that I allowed an unlimited data plan on the iPhone. So they want everybody off of that. They really do. That's, you know, sad to say, but that's the world. I think if internet service providers could do it, they would too. They'd love to charge you per gigabyte. Oh, they're just wishing they could do that. Adam, Studio City, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Leo. I've been watching and listening since the early tech TV days, so
wow.
It's an honor to speak with you.
Thank you.
On one of your early shows you had on Twit, you had the guys from Tiki Bar TV on.
Oh, I love those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, they're awesome. But they basically said if you have an idea for a show and you got the passion behind it, go ahead and get started. So it's 5 years later now, and we had started a show way back then with my daughter, who was 7 years old at the time. She's 12 now, and
we've been
doing a show called Piper's Picks TV.
Piper's? Say it again. Piper's Picks?
TV.
TV. How awesome is that?
Yeah, and it's PiPersPicks.tv.
Oh, that's Hollywood's youngest professional entertainment reporter, broadcasting since 2008. That is awesome. What fun to do this with your family. I think that's great.
Thank you. She's going to be pretty much everybody. But I'm so glad you've brought up the YouTube issues because we're really stuck now because I've gotten to the point where I've gone back and forth between using Libsyn or YouTube, and we started veering off toward YouTube because they found a way to monetize video.
Yeah, and it's a big community. I mean, that's where all the viewers are.
Right, and we get a lot of feedback and traffic there. But I'm at the point now where we're driving most of the traffic through Twitter.
Are you having problems with them blocking you as I have?
What I've come up with is YouTube suddenly dropped a bomb on us with one video. They went through and just, I heard they did it with a lot of people. They said, we're taking down this video. You're in violation of some rule. We're partners now. I could get through to nobody at partner support.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm looking at it and thinking, well, great. I've been putting in 5 years.
I agree.
And YouTube is saying, we might just pull you off YouTube altogether.
And, you know, this isn't just YouTube. It's Facebook. It's Twitter. It's any other site where you are living on their site, putting content on there. YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter would be nothing if people didn't put content on there. They provide nothing but a place. However, it is their place, and it's at their discretion, totally at their discretion. They can boot you off, and you have no recourse.
Okay, so we've been working on building up this brand, and eventually what I wanted to do, the basic concept was like to do what you're doing, but for kids' entertainment.
I love that idea. So I'll tell you what we do, and I think everybody should do this. You need your own site that nobody can kick you off.
Right, and we've got our own site, but I'm trying to figure out what the best way is now, because you've experimented with so many of them, to start monetizing videos. Mm-hmm.
It's okay, so it's tricky, and there's a lot of stuff in here. So first of all, YouTube's giving you free bandwidth. A million people watch Piper's picks, and it doesn't matter. It's free. And YouTube has a monetization system. So don't abandon YouTube, but understand that you live or die via YouTube. So make sure you have, as you do, your own website. That's number one. A Twitter feed, you do that. A Facebook feed, all of that's good. The real issue is, let's say you decided, oh, look, John C. Reilly, I love him. Let's say you said, well, I want to host my own video. Very expensive. Not really doable. You might want to have Vimeo or Libsyn is one way to do it. I would have a backup plan, and I would, as absolute matter of course, push people not to your YouTube page, but to your website. Make sure they know about it.
Okay.
Because if YouTube pulls the plug, I don't think they will. The problem is it's run by machines. So if they do, good luck getting any recourse.
Then that's where we've gotten stuck.
Right. And it's run by machines. There's nobody home. I loathe this company. I'm a Google fan, but I loathe what they're doing with YouTube. And I think there's a lot of people like you and me who, remember, we're getting free bandwidth, so we'd get something from it. There's other services like Daily Motion. There's Vimeo. You've got Libsyn. I would just use them all. Don't be dependent on anybody, because you can never count on anybody. And that's just the way it is. Good luck, though, with Piper's Picks. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today, and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.